Once upon a time, or 55 years ago to be precise, Walt Disney's animation studios unveiled a villainess so sinister and yet so mesmerising that every screen baddie since has paled in comparison. No, we're not talking about the onset of Dave Bradley in drag, or indeed other folk from SFX magazine, but we are talking about Tara Bennett and what she's been writing about, what she's been writing about. Honestly, sometimes the English language just folds in on itself and it's not like, let's just create our own. Our official East Coast correspondent and the SFX East Coast editor, of course, SFX the magazine. Tara Bennett, welcome back to the production. How are you?
Oh, it was so good to be here. Lovely to talk to you guys. And yes, I've been all over Maleficent for SFX. This has been pretty exciting.
Absolutely. And I presumably, have you seen the movie as yet?
I actually see it this evening. But I talked to the director, Robert Stromberg, and it's his first time directing. So I have a nice feature with him in the issue that just came out today.
Absolutely, and indeed just proving that we are cutting edge when it comes to Midweek Drive, the fabulous foursome with their very own superpowers in many ways have been perusing the recent latest edition of SFX, which of course features R2-D2 on the front cover. I wonder why that might be. I don't know, it's something to do with that sort of Star Wars thing that's coming through there. But we have Gabriella Peralta, we have of course Rachel, I'm a fan of Fringe, it's the best, Warren, and we have Musna, Game of Thrones for me, Rahman. And Jane, it's all sci-fi, Southall, the director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. Let's go to Musna first, because you had an interesting point when you had a look at this particular article about headdresses and iconography and such like stuff, really, which wasn't a question I don't think Tara actually put to the director.
No, I don't. Remind me again, what did I say?
I seem to recall you said this is why she's become a gay icon.
Oh, yeah. In the most positive terms, yeah. I think that she is a brilliant sort of drag queen looking woman in this getup. But, I mean, the costumes are fantastic.
I mean, I bet, Tara, even though that might have crossed your mind, being a well-read, well-mannered individual, you probably just thought, so, Robert, was it just designed for gay iconography? Was that the whole thing? Drop that one in there.
I did ask him, I said, you know, when you've got to the kind of palette of those cheekbones to work with, how can you go wrong? And he said, you know, you're right. So I think he gets it. I think he gets it quite well.
I have to say, the hedgehog one in the middle has to be my favourite fairy. I mean, in terms of the images that we actually get with respect to the setup. And, of course, Maleficent, already iconic, not wanting to be reinvented. I was currently wearing her very fetching Mickey Mouse T-shirt with Mickey emblazoned upon it, because we wouldn't know, let's face it. It could be any sort of large-eared sort of
any iconic mouse.
Exactly, any iconic mouse could actually be there. You're quite a fan of Disney, and is Maleficent the movie you'll be waiting to catch in Gibraltar with bated breath, or is it a case of, no, I don't do movies?
I watched Frozen. I think that was the first Disney film I've watched in a very long time.
Several million people have, I believe.
Yeah. I think the last one I watched since then probably was about 7 years ago. I think I might have watched Cars, which wasn't that great. But, I think Disney films have got, I don't know, more family... I don't know, they've always been family friendly, but I think I wasn't into them for a while. But I might start watching them again since Frozen. They seem to have... I don't know. Maybe being more for the family, less for the children.
We do go through that. I mean, I was fascinated, actually, Tara, by one of the lines which suggested that the Disney people and executives were sitting around talking, and they said, what kind of franchise can we have which can do for us what The Dark Knight did for Batman? It's an interesting line, really.
It is interesting. And, you know, I always think it's interesting, too, with these kind of revisionist history kind of takes on iconic characters. You know, Maleficent is, like you said, a lot of people's favorite kind of animated villainess, and she's beautifully designed, and everybody, you know, knows her immediately from her look. But this story really kind of reframes her story, and it's always really interesting about how successful that is. You know, you've done well, for 50 years with Maleficent in one way and looking at her one way, and then you kind of give a new context. So I am going to be interested to see if it kind of subverts. You know, you can't take it back once you've seen it. So it'll be interesting to see if it's an acceptable kind of revisionist history for the character.
Jane, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I'm as somebody who arguably could say I might use some of that techniques when I'm dealing with the next sort of meeting of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society.
I don't know. I did see, because I'm correct on it, it's Angelina Jolie that plays the part, isn't it? And I mean, she's very beautiful, isn't she? But she actually said when she was cast for the part that her daughter had to actually play the little girl in it because she scared all the other children, mm-hmm. didn't she?
So, yeah.
I think taking on board what we've said here, I think Disney films have been around. I remember watching them with my children, and I think sometimes the parents enjoy them just as much as the children, don't they, really? I think that's probably why it's a family thing.
I treated myself to Days of Future Past and Godzilla over the weekend, back to back.
Yeah, Godzilla was great.
I did feel they worked very well, actually. Yeah. It's a nice little line, obviously done by Gareth Edwards. Have you managed to catch either of those little narratives, Tara?
I have. I enjoy Godzilla. I think it had a really interesting way of building towards the monster battles, which was kind of not expected for your typical blockbuster. And I really enjoyed Days of Future Past. I was not as impressed with the last two Wolverine individual films, and I was really hoping that this film was as good as First Class, and I was not disappointed. So hopefully a lot of people will enjoy both of them.
Exactly, and I thought I'd probably echo your own point. I felt Days of Future Past for me just had it slightly over Godzilla in terms of the line from that, and it was nicely put together. But meanwhile, of course, Rachel fringes the best honest Warren is she's still recovering from the book, of course, which we haven't brought along because we would have had to have all sorts of things. Rachel, thoughts on SF or indeed movies you might be sort of checking out from yourself?
Maleficent, actually. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see it. I think it looks really good. I love Disney, and I like the idea of it twisting its head, like looking at her. It's like, Shrek does that in a kind of weird way, like the fairy godmother's evil, isn't she? Whereas you always picture her as, like, good. And I don't know, I think Maleficent looks really good.
So it's looking good from the Midweek Drive team, Tara. It's, work through that. I realised that once we set the bar as high as we did on one of your earlier contributions where we talked about how did you cope with the flying monkeys as the question that should be dropped in there, But as ever, you've risen to that whole sequence. Mazda, any questions you'd like to put to Tara about life, the universe, or indeed, anything else, really?
How about... Who? What's been like sort of the most interesting person in sort of the sci-fi industry that you've met, or maybe an icon for you that you've met?
Oh gosh, there's a lot. Probably for me was meeting Sigourney Weaver and James Cameron, because I'm a huge Aliens fan.
Oh my gosh!
That was a good day. That was a very good day at work, and. I've been really blessed to talk to so many really, really talented people. So, heroes and then people that are up and coming, doing, projects that maybe I wasn't as aware of what they were when they're up and coming, and then being able to kind of track their careers as they've moved along. And so, but those are two of my all-time favorites. So getting to meet them, and I always like talking to Joss Whedon. I've been a fan of his work from back in the Buffy days, so whenever I've gone to talk to him, that's always been great. And boy, to watch him go from TV creator, to the guy at the helm of the Avengers movies is pretty fun to watch.
Tara, you've mentioned Buffy, you've mentioned Joss Whedon, but I know that Mazda is going to say, no, I don't like science fiction when it goes funny, when it goes, Mazda, classic Babylon 5 woman, aren't you, really?
I like sci-fi to be serious. I really don't like comedy, sci-fi mashups.
Stargate SG-1, that's the way forward.
But funnily enough, actually, I watched Alien last night because it was on... It was on a terrestrial TV channel here, and it was on. It was like the midnight movie, and I've seen it like 100 times, but it's so good still. And I was just wondering, I mean, Sigourney Weaver, what is she like? Like, is she anything like Ripley?
She's a lot quirkier,
You mean she didn't do the interview with an exoskeleton strapped onto her back?
She didn't. I wish she did. I probably would have stolen it from her and tried to drag it out of the room. So, but no, she's very sweet, and she's witty, and she's definitely not as serious as Ripley is in the films. So, but she's very charming, and she doesn't take anything too seriously, which is nice.
And that's wonderful, because when Tara Bennett gives the thumbs up to a celebrity, we know that they're genuinely wonderful people. She's great. Have you ever met Helen Slater?
I haven't, but Supergirl, boy, man, I love that movie. Well, when I was young, that was pretty great. I know she's coming today, right?
She is indeed. And in many ways, I think you're equivalent star billing in many ways, Tara. But, you know, it was a warming up to the sort of arrival of Helen Slater from that point of view. And I have to say, she's just produced a new piece of work, actually just about a year and a half old, but I was so moved by it. It's sort of Greek mythologies and a sort of almost Disney-esque take on Greek mythologies and characters from that I've even written a positive review on Amazon about it. Yeah, I've only ever done that once before, but yeah, I thought I must be feeling unwell, but no. And if you think that the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show has sort of not as fantasy enough, of course, that Jane, this year we have the return of those equine gymnastics people, and they're pretty fantastic.
We do, yes. Yeah, yes.
So we've got things. Tara, I don't know if you've ever considered the notion of attending the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society's annual county show, the event for the East Coast of England, you know, the East Coast of America.
I wish.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds charming, and I would love to go there. It's raining here today, and it sounds like it would be much nicer to go and get myself out in the air. Yeah. I would love that. So let's work on that.
Jane, why should Tara be looking to go from the East Coast? Because just remind us again, Tara, whereabouts on the East Coast of the States are you based?
I'm right outside of Philadelphia right now, next time I talk to you, I'll probably be in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we are, you see. So, in fact, you'll be sharing the time slot with Phil Leonis, of course, who's texted in that he's working away in LA, listening to the Midweek Drive, an outstanding radio show hosted by the peerless Midweek Drive team. Wonderful.
That's
wonderful. And in this week's Phil Leonis package, he's going to be explaining the real secret behind the loss of the Asian airline, which is always wonderful from that point of view. It's great stuff. But anyway, Jane, back to your good self. Time for the shameless plug to actually get the citizens of Philadelphia and Los Angeles over for the Lincolnshire show. Why should they actually flock over?
Because it's such a great 2 days out, not one. You can't see everything in one day, can you, Alex? And because they're coming from such a distance, they can have a week here and they can see the castle and the cathedral and see what a great place Lincoln is.
We just sort of, I know that the excitement is mounting to issue 250 of SFX magazine. The polls have closed. The 250 top moments of science fiction and fantasy have been voted for, and they will be revealed on the 25th of June. But don't get ahead of yourself. SFX edition 249 with, of course, the fetching R2-D2, broadly modelled with Kenny Baker still stuck in there somewhere. And the bright golden yellow is available with, of course, the extra bonus of a Tara Bennett feature inside as well, which I feel these days is always much more wonderful, really, when we have a Tara Bennett feature in there. But 'tis time now for Gabriella Peralta, our Mickey Mouse-wearing gal from Gibraltar, to throw those last two questions at you. Over to you, Gabriella.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Of course, absolutely.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully soon?
Oh, I'd love to, please. Thank you.
Oh, great.
And would you like to know what Gabriella has actually selected for her little tune? Because it's going to be her last studio gig for a wee while. I don't even know if Shaggy actually made it to the States.
He did.
He's great. Of course he'd make it. Around the world. International.
Shaggy featuring Ricardo. I thought he might have been stuffed at the border. I mean, I don't know these days. You know? John Lennon had issues for a long time. Why would they let Shaggy in? But still, it wasn't me.
Yo, man.
Yo.
Open up, man.
Yo, what do you want, man?
My girl just caught me.
You made her catch you?
I don't know how I let this happen.
But who?
The girl next door, you know?
Nah.
I don't know what to do.
Say it wasn't you.
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creepy with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both club making love on the bathroom floor. How could I?
I can see him dealing with rebels there. I can see him going off to the Ukraine. I can see him doing all sorts of things because, as Mazda Rahman has just said, Shaggy was actually in the US Army in the Gulf War. Wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
You weren't expecting that to welcome you back to the show, were you, Michelle Monroe? But there we are. Just goes to show our finest fighting scenario there, Shaggy. and it wasn't me doing his stuff, magically so, on Midweek Drive. And it's time to welcome you back live to the Midweek Drive, Michelle Monroe, and, as we've already said, four fabulous souls in the studio, Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar, for the last time for a wee while.
Aww. Yeah.
That's why we played Shaggy. Obviously, she wanted some R. Kelly, but...
Yeah, you didn't really have Ignition.
No, we didn't. Anyway, never mind. Mazda Rahman, who's making her debut on the production. Mazda, of course, a combination of Bangladesh, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Australian, but no American whatsoever, really, although you speak American.
Yes, that's true.
I would have said it's American sense of the word. Still, American is a global language. Jane Southall, of course, the director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, has been said, Jane, that Michelle would only come back live on the show when you returned. So that's probably the key. Exactly. It's very small in her riders and contracts. And, of course, the fabulous Rachel Warren. How are you, Michelle Monroe?
I'm very, very well, thank you, Alex.
Brilliant.
I have survived.
Oh, please, that's Gloria.
And since we last spoke, I have exchanged on my property. And I'm happy to report I'm moving to Shropshire.
In the words of Michelle Monroe's lawyer, he had never seen a case that's had so many exchanges, setbacks and scenarios at all. I'm paraphrasing.
It's taken 9 months.
9 months, yeah.
It's been, I mean, anyone that said it's stressful,
you should
I agree.
Have built it yourself.
I when I read that, someone said, "Oh, it's, you know, one of the most stressful things." I thought, "Dave, how, what can be so difficult?" Yeah. Well, I tell you, I've got no hair left.
Yeah, never mind. Neither did Ripley in Alien, and she coped okay with the whole system, so don't worry. Or was it Alien 3, the one with David Fincher? Possibly. She was in a prison cell at the time. Don't worry.
Much
we still love you.
Cue, no, thank you for that.
Cue tonight's piece.
I might do. Yeah. Well, tonight's choice for Siren is a 1949 song written and originally recorded by Leon Payne. Now, the single went to number 4 on the Billboard Country and Western bestsellers list and spent 2 weeks at number 1 on the Country and Western disc jockey list, spending a total of 32 weeks on the charts. Now, several artists throughout the years have covered the track. In 1950, Ernest Tubb and Clyde Moody each recorded their own versions, both making the top 10. A version by Johnny Cash reached number 20 in 1960, and Carl Smith's version reached number 14 in 1969. Al Martino actually recorded the most successful version of the song, peaking at number 3 on the Hot 100 and number 1 on the Easy Listening chart for 2 weeks in May of 1963. Now, the following year, Jim Reeves took the song to number 5 in the UK, while 1976 saw the song as the title track of a posthumous Reeves album, which peaked at number 24. Now, other artists to add it to their repertoire include Roger Whittaker, Elvis Presley, Hank Lachlan, Slim Whitman, Jerry Lee Lewis, George Jones, Willie Nelson, and our very own Matt Monroe, who released it on his 1972 album, The Other Side of the Stars. Produced by John Burgess and arranged and conducted by Colin Keyes at Air Studios, here is Dad's take of I Love You Because.
I love you because you understand, dear, every single thing I try to do. You're all I love you 'cause you're you.
Okay, so far as to say that's my favourite version of I Love You Because, the Jim Reeves one, becoming almost a cliche. Anyway, it had Muzna swaying in the studio before she was quizzing Gabriella on the history and background of Gibraltar. It's very important.
Yeah.
It's exactly. When were you last there, Michelle?
What, Gibraltar? Mm. About 4 weeks ago.
You see?
Oh my God!
You see, she could have dropped in, said hello to the Peralta family, could touch base on that side of things.
Well, it's like a regular route, you see. It's a regular stop on the cruising route.
Yeah, it is quite a cruiser stop.
Brian Walton has actually sent in a message. He has here. You see, sometimes it happens. Bonjour, everyone.
What are you saying? Who's sent a message?
Brian Walton is saying, bonjour, everyone. Obviously,
bonjour.
Yeah. Great show as ever. I thought I had to make a return for Gabriella's final appearance. Look, Brian, it's not her final. It's like Frank Sinatra. You know, it's everyone's
affair. Many
comebacks. Yeah, precisely. he'd like to request Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine, please, so that Gabriella is sure to send us some of that gorgeous Gibraltar weather as soon as possible. Cheers, Brian. It gives you a warm feeling, doesn't it, Jane?
Yes.
It's about heartburn, one of the two. Anyway, life continues in its own merry, wondrous way. Mazna, any questions you want to put to Michelle?
No,
that's all right. Let's find out then.
What's the weather like where you are?
In Harrow.
In Harrow.
It's overcast.
Overcast in Harrow.
I tell you something. There's an advantage to going on a small ship. Now, I've been to Cadiz probably 12 times. If you want to go to Seville, it's a 2-hour coach trip, so I've never bothered. But on this last cruise on Adonia, it's only 30,000 tons. We were able to sail straight into Seville. 34 degrees in May.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So not a great deal of difference between that and the kind of May we're experiencing here, Jane, really.
It's very similar.
When the show comes to town, everything will be okay, because as you will attest to, Jane, it always shines for the Lincolnshire show. Even if it's the shiny sort of shape. So it does, it
You're
shines,
the
doesn't
sunshine,
it?
Alex.
Oh, well, bless. I like to feel it's a team thing. We reflect positively on each other. Anyway, I love you because what did you make of it, Rachel?
I thought it was really good. Yeah, I liked it.
Jane?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Mazna?
Oh, yeah, I was swaying. I loved it.
Gabriella, thumbs up as well. So brilliant stuff. So, Gabriella, last two questions for your fellow Gibraltarian visitor here. Michelle Monroe.
Okay. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
No.
Oh, you're supposed to say yes to that.
But I say it every week, or every other week.
Not on the pre-record.
I like to have to upset the apple cart.
Exactly. Yeah, keeps the freshness going. Exactly.
Yes. I had a wonderful talk. Now, it's really nice to be able to connect live again.
Yeah, otherwise it's the Michelle Monroe button.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And I'm guessing you will be connecting with us next week when I'm not
here.
No, it'll be
Tallulah Rendell next week. Success.
So I'm on every 2 weeks now.
Exactly.
And Alex will press the other button because it will be a pre-record, I'm afraid, because I shall be on the VE cruise.
Exactly.
With us in spirit, though.
Always.
Still to come, Ed Wellman. We'll be talking to a chap from St. Andrews University Madrigal Group. That'll be Jonathan McNall, who are performing in Lincoln. And we've also got Phil Dennis in Los Angeles. And we've got Helen Slater. Did I say Helen Slater? Yes, we've got Helen Slater now. Can we say bye-bye, Michelle?
Bye-bye.
It's not in every window I pass by where I'll be.
It's actually impossible to listen to Seven Wonders in the Stone Porch without actually getting into a toe-tapping positive mood from the album Crossword. And indeed, as I said earlier on the show, it was the first time I've actually been moved to write positive reviews. I mean, I don't write negative ones, but positive reviews on that Amazon site for both the wonderful Crossword and Myths of Ancient Greece. Because, amongst other things, we have the legend that's Helen Slater with us. Helen, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hey, Helen, it's a genuine delight to actually feature a true legend in every sense of the word. I mean, let's face it, not only Supergirl, but Superman's mother as well. What can we say?
Yes, on Smallville.
Exactly. You know, just shows the qualities. And keeping the mythologies going, you also go and produce the fabulous Myths of Ancient Greece, songs and stories for children of all ages, back in 2013. And again, I sort of thought, I'll have a listen to that. Outstanding. It's just...
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very proud of that. Thanks.
Well, as we say, it just works through. We have to pass on best wishes from Tara Bennett, the East Coast editor of SFX magazine, who is very impressed. And I think she probably, even though she hasn't met you as yet, but she holds you in as much esteem as Sigourney Weaver. At least equal.
Oh, my goodness. goodness. Oh my gosh.
Personally, Helen, I think you're just ahead of that game. But then, you know, I'd say that as a matter of course. In the studio, we have four fabulous people. We have Gabriella Gibraltar. That's an interesting one.
That's my name, Gibraltar.
Well, you will be working with the Gibraltarian Television Unit. So Gabriella Peralta is with us as well. And we have Dr. Musno Rahman from the English Department. Although I think, Helen, it's an interesting this because Cameron Tilby at the start of the show from Nashville said you were born in Canada. Is this true, Helen?
No, I was born in Massapequa, Long Island.
I thought so.
New York.
Yeah. I thought he was wrong on that particular one. So I'm pleased we identify that because it's critical that our New York correspondents are given full sort of berthing privileges from that. To say you were north of Canada, Lord knows what kind of challenges we could have. But we have Musno Rahman in there. We also have the director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, Jane Southall. And, of course, the fabulous Rachel Warren as well. So brilliant stuff there. So welcome to the production. And just looking at the CV, it just seems as though you are one of those wonderful, extremely talented folk who just never stops working. I mean, we talked about, obviously, the superhero aspect, but we've got Sticky Fingers, we've got Ruthless People, we've got the whole heap of Monday Joan of Arcs in The Legend of Billie Jean. Where do we, Musno? Mm. Where would you like to start with the fabulous Helen Slater in terms of questions that might have just sort of think, oh, you know, do we want to run this past her?
Okay, well, I actually, from looking at this little bio that you've made, see that you and your friend Gina Gershon founded a theatre group called the Naked Angels, and I was wondering how you know her because I love her.
She's wonderful. Actually, this was in the early, mid-80s, I would say. Fisher Stevens, Tim Ransom, Pippin and Toby Parker, Mary Stuart Masterson, Nancy Travis, and Gina was part of this, too. It actually was in my mother's apartment because we needed a place just to meet. We were all actors doing work, bits and pieces here in films and television. We wanted to have a theater company. And so we had this first meeting in my mom's apartment, and eventually we found a space. And actually, Naked Angels has gone on. They've done some incredible, just beautiful original productions in New York. And it's, you know, I think when you're in your 20s and it's just a very exciting time to have a theater company and people wanting to get together and try out new experimental things. And so she was part of that as well, Gina.
We're going to be talking about, obviously, movies that you've got in post-production because of Downers Grove and A Remarkable Life and so on. And I think we're going to open it up to the rest of the team as well. But if you bear with us, Helen, I do want to actually break into Echo and Narcissus Part 1.
Because, sure.
As I say, this particular aspect for me, I just thought it almost sort of works its way into your head until ultimately I think this should replace newscasts the world over. You know, CNN, you can take one side of that and just say, no, if you want positivity on the news, and Gabriella, particularly soon to be graduating from a journalism degree at the University of Lincoln, going back to Gibraltar, working with the news, I think this is the kind of positivity that we actually need. It's got a bit of a tragic story at the end, as we know, if you're familiar with the tale of Echo and Narcissus, but it's delivered by Helen Slater from the aforementioned fabulous album, Myths and Stories, etc. Helen, would you like to introduce yourself singing Echo and Narcissus and telling the tale of Echo and Narcissus?
Well, I'm just curious because I know it's in two parts. Is it just the song? It's not Nice to Be Mean, or is it the story?
I think we're taking the story as well. We're taking the story and the song. So,
well, the story, if you're actually going to play it, I am telling it. The way I adapted the record was I've loved Greek mythology my whole life, and I have loved the Echo and Narcissus myth. And if you're doing part one, I am just telling the story straight up. It would be a little odd for me to tell it right now, too.
You're quite right. You're absolutely, Helen, you see, that's why we knew you'd be spot on. Because you can actually sort of deal with that and say, hang on, you asked me to give an intro to the intro. That's just getting too
right,
surreal.
Right, because I am telling the story.
Exactly.
It is done that way.
It's like meta-narratives, and we're getting into all sorts of things here. Let's just press the button.
It was known throughout the land of ancient Greece that Zeus, king of all gods, didn't like to stay home much. Queen Hera, his wife, knew this and was always following him, making sure he stayed out of mischief. He was known to transform himself into a swan or a bull and play all day with humans, intervening here and there where he had no business. One day, Zeus went gallivanting around, and Hera followed him into the forest where the beautiful wood nymphs lived. They were playing games and singing just as young girls do. there was one lovely nymph named Echo who was a chatterbox. She loved to talk and talk and sing and talk. Hera was so taken with the charming girl that she forgot all about Zeus. It happened on a Saturday. The nymphs went on a holiday, specifically Nairobi, Eloisa, and Eliza May. Ladybugs were all aflit to say, "That's the news in greens and blues. You can't refuse to hear the news. That's the news in black and white. I'll have more to tell you later on tonight." Hera enjoyed Echo's gossiping, but when she realized that Zeus had slipped away, the goddess sentenced Echo never to use her voice again except to repeat what was said to her. "You will always have the last word, but no power to speak first." And so Echo was unable to chat, but could only repeat what someone said to her.
Tragic in so many ways. But there we are. As indeed I've actually just put it, well, I did this a day or so ago, actually. The Echo Narcissus myth is especially well presented with a catchy musical number. But in addition to a very well-crafted product, Helen has brought contemporary magic to Greek mythology with a joie de vivre that is pure fun, capital F-U-N.
Thank you.
I tell you, Helen, very few, even Academy Award winner Shirley Jones hadn't had an Amazon review from me on that sort of level, but just, I thought it was fantastic. But
I'm so grateful for that, especially to get the word out. I wrote the whole record because when I was raising my daughter, there was nothing like this in Los Angeles. You're in the car so much, driving from your house to schools to, and so she graduated high school last year, and I did this really, like, for her and for, because I wished I'd had something like this when I had a little kid in a car with Hannah.
Yep, there we are, you see. Rachel, you are a bit confused, but hopefully the message has come across. You need to listen to it several times.
Yes.
It's all right. I'm working for that. Mirza, you thought it was a little bit, Mirza, rather, you felt Ovid can be a bit dark, really.
Well, yeah, so. I thought it was an interesting choice to do it, sort of pitch it to kids in this way, because Ovid can be pretty dark if you think about the sort of the themes and the messages underneath things like Narcissus and Echo. I mean, what was it that attracted you to changing this into sort of a more friendly format?
Well, I was first lit up by myths in fourth grade. I had a fourth grade teacher, so I'm in English terms, I'm 9 years old, whenever that is in England world. And they had these dinky, horrible little movies they would play in the classroom, and it was Persephone and Demeter, Apollo and Daphne, which didn't make this record, but the Persephone and Demeter myth is really dark, but the way it was done, it was so, I think children, if you, like, Bruno Bettelheim wrote this book, The Uses of Enchantment, and that in these fairy tales, Grimm, or myths, like the Greek myths, it helps children deal with their world, I think, in a way, so it's appealing, even though it's dark. Persephone gets abducted, or an Echo and Narcissus, she loses her voice, or she's heartbroken because Narcissus shames her, right? But I think when you're little and you hear these stories, you may not have the advanced understanding of all the psychological meanings, but there's something appealing about having the story being put in story form. It's a little bit arm's length, and you can, I think the children, it can help them digest these bigger themes, mother-daughter with Persephone and Demeter, you know, the spook of not being able to find your mom or whatever, as do fairy tales. And I hope that was clear what I just said. Yeah. It's early in Los Angeles.
It all works together in a positive, uplifting moment. It's Myths of Ancient Greece and, as we say, songs and stories for children of all ages. And I think it's important you actually say that, because, Jane, you know, in terms of narrative, we are creatures who like stories. It's an important side of things. There's a story of the Lincolnshire Show.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's always a story, isn't there? And there's always a beginning, a middle, and an end, isn't there, really? Yeah, and they are important.
That's the news in Greens and Blues. Sorry,
Can I just ask you, Helen, because obviously you're very multi-talented and you do stage, TV, comedy, drama, etc. What do you enjoy doing the most, or do you enjoy all of it?
It's such a good question. I wish I could say there's one that, you know, like, this is the number one thing when I'm composing, because acting work really comes and goes. It's very, especially as you get older, it's not as available. It's just, there's not as many roles
Helen,
out there.
Helen, it's the unimaginativeness of casting directors. The fact of the matter is you are legend, and so we will continue to work through that. It's what I said.
You're so funny.
Critical of the whole thing.
But what I would say about that is I feel very grateful that during those down periods I have been able to compose music, which is a very different kind of muscle in a way. It's more solitary. You're kind of more in your imagination. But the joy, like I just finished doing a series in Austin, Texas, of having that community and being around people and working with the kids, just working with, I don't know, there's something quite beautiful about that. So I'd say each of them, I've gotten really good stuff from each form. I think the composing is probably the most authentic, like, because it's my music, because I'm, with the myths, I'm taking the Greek myths that are written, but I've written three other records, and I have two other workshops I'm working on, and that does feel more like my voice, for lack of a better word, and not to sound pretentious at all, but just that it's more, I don't know if authentic's the right word, but there is something about that where you feel a little more naked, a little more bare, like, all right, this is my view of this.
It's something which is at the heart of this particular show, and we obviously have to celebrate that from Mike Dooley's Thoughts of the Universe onwards, really, from that point of view. Gabriella, any thoughts from yourself about life, the universe, or indeed, you know, Helen's fantastic work? No. Okay, then, let's move on. I mean, Muzzler, you were looking at a whole range of things. One thing, I do have a quick question for you, Helen. The theme for your showreel, which is obviously on helenslater.com, it's a fascinating choice because you've gone for the Holly and the Ivy. Was there any reason for why you had the musical The Holly and the Ivy, The Christmas Carol? I mean, it works superbly. It was just one of those things which I thought, I wondered why she selected that one.
You know, the woman who did my website, who's so wonderful, Michelle LaPierre, she's just a wonderful web designer. She just asked me for pieces of music, and I've had friends or people say, like, why didn't you use your own music under the reel? And I'm such a big George Winston fan, and that's who's Holly and the Ivy, that is. And I find it so touching, just that lovely piano rendition. It's only piano, obviously, George Winston. And I don't know, it just seemed very opening, and like it seemed very airy, and it could allow for, because I think the way she does the basic, that first reel, it's not the only, the current stuff, it's kind of everything all the way back to Supergirl, right? So it seemed very spacious and airy and kind of allowed to sort of do this montage of 30-something years being in film and television.
And memorable and very positive ones as well. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Peter O'Toole will be looking down now and said, ultimately, he was working with Helen Slater that was the best bit of my career. But then again, that's forget Lawrence of Arabia. That's, I have a sense. I don't think so.
Yeah,
you never know. We're going to wrap up the sequence today with a fabulous number called Anymore. Again, I think it's poignant, it's pertinent. It comes, of course, from another one of your fabulous albums. I was sort of aware, but then I thought, yeah, let's work our way through this. But we have two final critical questions that we need to put to you, Helen. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Madrid Drive? Have you enjoyed the connection? Has it worked for you?
I've loved it. First of all, I'm so grateful, like giant gratitude that you're playing my music. It's so rare in publicity, doing any kind of PR, that it gets to be anything about my music. So thank you so much for that. And well, I've had a fantastic time.
I'm looking forward to actually sort of listening to Shine and indeed One of These Days. Hopefully you're working on the fifth album as well, because these are all critical things from that point of view. So the next crucial question is, can we look forward to welcoming you back to the show again in the very near future? Will you sort of join us?
Yes, please. I really enjoyed it. Any time, it would be my joy to come and talk.
A round of applause for Helen Slater, please. Now, actually, Jane, whilst you're still there, Jane, why should Helen Slater, we're selling the Lincolnshire show, which is, you know, clearly a critical sort of story, why should we actually look to maybe invite Helen over to open the Lincolnshire show next year? That would be an interesting line.
Yeah, that would be great, yes.
You know, I am going to be in London mid-July for the London, there's a Comic-Con going on there. I'm sorry, I can't think of what it's called, but it's going to be in... Yes,
I'm sure we will get things. So if we can get Phil Leonis up to our radio, Helen, it's been an absolute blast, a genuine pleasure.
Thank you.
As this doesn't go in with speech, I'll leave you to introduce any more, because this is one again. It sends chills down the spine. Really, over to you.
Thank you so much, Helen. It's from my record called Crossword, and it's a love song that I wrote. Just one of those love songs called Anymore. And thank you for playing it.
No reason like light on the water it pours, and I won't ask why anymore. I won't ask how anymore. How should I believe? Sometimes love is more like a constant, more like the air I breathe, and I.